Tuesday the 21st of August, Rabbi Donny El Karp, Yifat Torah, its relevance today.
The subject is Yifat Torah, and as I'm not going to disappoint anyone, it's not a halachic discussion of the Israeli army, whether you can take Yifat Torah, but it's actually a hashkafic issue. Obviously there are many limudim that we can get out of this parasha, even if it's not relevant lemaisa, halach lemaisa today. I want to pick one which I think is quite a klolistic one that is a central concept relevant to this generation perhaps more than others, and specifically relevant to this time of year. The parasha Yifat Torah is a very strange one. It's unique in that here you have a person who is in the army, he's going out to fight in battle. Rashi says it's an Elchemes Rishus, so the Melech has decided he wants to widen his borders, he wants to increase the borders, so he's going out to fight one of the neighbouring countries. And here's a soldier, he sees one of the captives, a woman, and there's a certain attraction there, and the Torah says he's allowed to go and take this woman and then bring her home. It's a very strange thing. This is actually the whole procedure is a mitzvah itself. It's one of the Targum mitzvahs. So it's very odd, and I just like to bring out from the Or HaChaim, who has difficulty with this, and he suggests a very interesting and completely different mahalach in this to what we're familiar with. He starts off with the kasha. He builds up the question even more than we've said. He says that, who are we talking about here? Who went to war? We're not talking about just ordinary people. The tzaddikim were the ones who went to war. Those who had not done any aveira. So here they are. They're involved in a war where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing nisim geluyim. They see the Yad Hashem. They're actually on an elevated level. They've got the dovuk in Hashem. They're constantly aware of Hashem's presence. And then the Torah says, go ahead and take the shiksa. Well, he says, that's ridiculous. Why should the Torah do that? On the contrary, a person who's seen such geluyim, he should be encouraged to go even higher, not to drop down to a lower level. And therefore, he says that is not what the Torah means. And he says two basic yesodas, which are agdoma to the whole concept of Yifat Torah. The first is that at the time of Chet of Adam HaRishon, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, the certain neshamas were captured, so to speak, by the Sitra Achra. It's obviously a Kabbalah, Alpi Kabbalah, so what we can glean from this we will, but it's obviously a very deep idea. But what he says is that the neshamas were taken over, and so now certain neshamas are amongst the goyim, and that is the whole idea of Geulus. They're those people among the goyim who have a neshama tahora, and they want to come back to Klal Yisrael. So they're Megaya. That's one idea which he says. But there's another idea, and that is that sometimes there's a neshama tahora which is attached to neshama tamea. That means that not that the person himself has a neshama tahora and therefore wants to be Megaya. The person himself is a regular guy who's got no interest in coming to Klal Yisrael and becoming part of the Jewish people, but attached to his neshama is a heilig neshama, and the only way to detach it is by some connection with another neshama tahora. And he gives the example of Dina and Shechem. He says that Shechem had a neshama attached to him, which was the neshama of Chanina ben Tradion, and Chanina ben Tradion was unable to escape the clutches of this neshama tamea until there was that connection between Dina and Motza Minis Mino, the tahora, the neshama tahora of Chanani ben Tradion was clinged on to the neshama of Dina, and was therefore released from being attached to neshama tamea. And therefore he explains the whole mahalach of this parasha according to these two principles. He says that here you have a person who's in the war, he's a tzaddik, he's seen the giluyim. There's no question that he is not going to be tempted by lowly temptations. On the contrary, he's on a very high level. And if he sees one of the captives, and he sees that she has, he sees a certain attachment, a connection, some yearning towards her, and he says, the Pasuk doesn't say v'choshakto oiso, that he has a desire for her. V'choshakto bo, he has a desire for something within her. What is within her? The neshama, that he's seeing that the halakha neshama that's there, and that's the pull. It's nothing to do with physical attraction at all, and therefore he's got to he's got this desire for connecting to this neshama, yisayin neshama, to hora. And so the procedure goes on, and he goes through explaining all the different details of the procedure, that sometimes it could be that it's actually a person who's got a neshama tahora and she should be Megaya, and therefore she will become part of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes it will just be there's this neshama tahora attached to neshama tamea. And so subsequently, once she's in his home and she's Miss Navelis, and he doesn't feel any connection anymore to her, he sees that neshama tahora has been released. She's just a neshama tamea, there's no connection, he's not interested, and therefore he knows that what's been needed, this freeing of neshama, has been achieved. And he goes through all the different details. It's a beautiful pshat, but at the end of the day, Chazal don't say that. And he admits that he's saying something different to what the Gemara says. This is al pi v'zoyah. The Gemara says, lo yidivra Torah, so the Torah is dealing with a person's Yetzer Hara. A person has sometimes a temptation. What about the answer to his question? The fact is that these were tzaddikim, they saw the Giluyim. Rav Elia Lapian says, from here you see, he turns this all on its head. He says, the Aruchan's Kash is actually the answer. Yes. Unfortunately, a person can succumb. Even the greatest people can succumb. The Mishnah says that al tamin ba'atzmocha ad yoy moischa, a person can't be boiter ba'atzmo, he can't be sure that he's not going to be nifshel in any avera. The Yetzer is always there to attack, and even the greatest tzaddik can fall. I'd like to then focus on this Chazal, and there's a Rabbi Yerucham Levovitz, the Mashgiach of Mir from before the war, who explains two very important concepts here which I think are very relevant. He just gives a bit of the background to what we're talking about here. We're talking about a person who's gone to war. What's that? The situation is he's away from home, he's in a state of pressure and stress. This is war, he may never come back. There's confusion, there's disorder, there's no structure. He doesn't start off the morning with a shachris and then go to start your day the Torah way. This is war. So it's turmoil. And in that turmoil, the Yetzer Hara can pounce. That's where the Yetzer Hara is ready to attack. He's busy fighting the war. He's not aware of the bigger enemy that's coming, that just walks right through and takes over, grabs him by the scruff of the neck, and captures him, so to speak, while he's off guard. That's what happened. So what does the Torah say? It doesn't say, that's it, you've fallen for one of the worst aveiras, this is a toyeva, as the Rachaim puts it. That's it, you're finished. Look, the Torah has a mahalach, how he should deal with this situation. It gives him a suggestion what he should do, how he can actually come away from this. Even if he's done an avera, he can come away at least minimizing the damage. This is damage limitation the Torah is doing here. So at least he'll come away with less averas than he might have done. And so Rabbi Yerucham brings out that there are two points that are very central for, I think, for today especially. One is that we've got to see that a person can be in a situation where the Yetzer Hara has got the better of him. But that doesn't mean you have to give up. The Torah is telling you here that a person has to have a strategy, has to have a plan. He can deal with the situation, and even if he's fallen, he may have lost the battle. He doesn't have to have lost the war. The Yetzer Hara has won one battle against him, but the war isn't over, and therefore he has to continue. But there's a second thing which I think is equally important, and that is that we see from this parasha that the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is metapel with him. The Torah is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't left him. He hasn't said, right, you're out, you're finished, I'm not interested in you anymore. On the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metapel with him, he's dealing with him throughout until he gets back on his feet. Today we're living in an era where, unfortunately, Rahman Litzvon, our kids going off the derech, and there are so many different reasons. You know, sometimes it can be problems at home, sometimes it can be bullying at school. There are all sorts of causes for this, and I'm no expert on this, but I just thought that perhaps I would imagine that most of them are not going off because they're not ma'amin, because they don't believe there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they don't believe the Torah Zemes. There are other issues, but if a person knows that even if a person Chas V'Shalom is Mechal Shabbos or he doesn't have Aveira Chamura, that's not it. A person should never think that HaKadosh was not interested in me, I'm a Rosha, why should I bother anymore anyway? Well, he doesn't care. I've already removed myself from the Derech HaYosha. Forget it. It's not worth bothering anymore. This is what the Torah is telling a person, that they should never believe that. And perhaps, I don't know, maybe this would be of some chizuk to young people in this situation, to know that they have never removed themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest, from his care, from his concern, from his love, we are his bonim, and we always remain so. Rabbi Yeruchim mentions a gewaltig maisa with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, which illustrates this point. He said that he met a doctor on his travels who had many letters from Rabbi Yisrael, and the doctor said, why don't you take them, you could perhaps publish some or whatever. And he looked through the letters, and the letters were letters that Rabbi Yisrael had written him. This person was very mekurav to Rabbi Yisrael, and he had a son who had gone off the derech. He was perhaps 14, 15, 16, and he'd become irreligious, and he'd gone to a non-Jewish school or perhaps university. And there he was in the university. He was obviously not keeping anything. He was eating tarifas. And the letters, he said, apart from being Mechazik, the father, who was a frum man, were telling him how to try to minimize his son's issa, his son's averas, to make them at least, that it shouldn't be an issa doraisa. When he's eating tarifas, there's ways to minimize it, that it shouldn't be an issa doraisa. There's ways to minimize it, that it shouldn't be an issa chomad rabbonon, it should just be an issa kal. Rabbi Yeruchim says, "What would we have done that? I mean, the person's eating tarifas, he's out. So we'll try to be makar of him, but at the end of the day, he's in that world. What are you going to do about that? That particular issue, to worry right now that he's eating tarifas, we'll try and be makar of him, hopefully he'll stop." He was saying, right now, you've got to try to minimize this. You've got to tell him at least to do this, do that. Minimize, he's doing avedas. He's not necessarily interested, but perhaps in ways where it would reduce the issa d'oraisa. And he says, the only reason Rabbi Yisrael was so bothered about this, and maybe we wouldn't necessarily do it this way, is because Rabbi Yisrael had a pachad for an avera. He knew what an avera was. He knew what the onish for an avera was, and that was his concern. And there's another maisa which I heard. Rabbi Yisrael also travelled around the world. He went to live in Paris at one time, and unfortunately at that time the Bnei Yisrael were some of them at least were involved in Znus, and the men, also Yiddish men, were going unfortunately to these people. And Rabbi Yisrael said to the Rabbonim of Paris, let us I'm going to encourage these women to go to the mikvah. At least there won't be koris. for these people who, for the women and for the men, at least there shouldn't be chorus involved. And the Rabbanim said, we're not accepting this, we're not going to do this, because presumably they were saying that you're giving a hetzer stempel, you're legitimizing in some way what's going on, you can't do this. But he said, look, we're dealing with chorus here, at least let's make it not a chorus. They didn't, in the end, I don't think they accepted it, but it's the same idea. There was another maisa I heard also from the Vilna Goyim. The Vilna Goyim is well known. He went on journeys away from Vilna, and he didn't make known his identity. It was a golos. It was a tikkun, and he was once in a certain place. He was staying in an inn and owned by a Yiddish person, and so there was kosher food. He went to breakfast in the morning, and he saw another person there, another Yid. And he was bareheaded, sitting there, he was eating, and Vilna Goyim, so he didn't make any brachas. So he went over to him, he said, excuse me, I noticed you're eating, you're not making a bracha. So he said, listen, Rabbi, I don't keep anything. Thinking about brachas, you know, that's the least of the problems. I don't keep anything. He said, you should know that the difference between making a bracha and not making a bracha, regardless of whatever else you're doing or not doing, is oilonus. In the next world, in Olam Haba, just to make a bracha before you eat can make a tremendous difference for Olam Haba, regardless of what else he's doing. Unbelievable. The same idea. And this ties in very well with another thing that Rabbi Yisrael said. I remember in yeshiva from the first Elul, the Mashkichim always talking about Teshuvah, Shteitzach, and the different Protim of Teshuvah, the Scharota, Zivisachet, Kabbalah, the Vidui, and a person has to do the Teshuvah the correct way, there's a procedure, Rabbi Yonah goes through, those are the three, four basic principles, the basic steps of Teshuvah. But they never mentioned Rabbi Yisrael's two chidushim. He said two major chidushim about tshuva, about how to do tshuva. And it was only many years later I discovered this. And why did nobody ever mention this? Maybe I was the only one who never knew about it. But he says two major chidushim. He brings the Gemara in Menachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and this is the goyness of Rabbi Yisrael. We see this Gemara, and we wouldn't make too much out of it. He sees two Welt Chidushim. It's a bright Tanya. Hoyer of Mea Oimer, Gogol Oinshe Shalobon, Yosemi Oinshe Shalobon. It's talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis. And of course, we know that when we had the Techeles, you had to have the Lobon, you have to have the strings of Lobon, and the strings of the Techeles. It's one mitzvah of tzitzis. Those are the two parts of the mitzvah. The Meir says, the oinish, if a person has a four-cornered garment, he's wearing it without the lavon, so he hasn't got tzitzis on his beggar. So the oinish for that is far worse than the oinish for not wearing the tcheles on the tzitzis. If he's just got the white, I mean, today we can't, so we're not me'anash. But if a person had the ability, in previous generations they had the tcheles, they knew exactly what it was, and if they didn't bother wearing it, you could get hold of very cheap imitation dye that looked the same. So you didn't bother, you had that, because you don't want to look like you're not doing the mitzvah. So the oynish for that is far less. That's what Rameh says. And he gives a moshel. Moshel lemahadov adoyne. Lemelech bosav adom sh'oymen l'shnei avodov. It's like a king who says to two of his servants, Le'echod omar hoveli choisim shel tit. One of them, he says, bring for me a steel of earthenware. Le'echod omar hoveli choisim shel zohov. Another one, he says, bring for me a seal of gold. Uposhu shneim v'loy heviu. They both are negligent. They don't bother. They don't bring him what he's asked for. Eiz mehen oynshim meruba. Which of the two has a worse oynish? Have a oymer zeh she'omaloi haveli chosim shel tit v'loy heidi. It's the one who was instructed to bring the earthen chosim, the earthen seal, and he doesn't. So Rabbi Yisrael says there are two things we can hear from this. Two chidushim in halacha. What's the Gemara saying here? It's saying that the oinish for an aveira, it's one aveira. There's no two mitzvahs here. There's no mitzvah tchelis and mitzvah lavan. That is two parts of one mitzvah. And yet, what's happening? The Gemara is saying a person is nenash more for the lavan than for the tchelis. Why? Because lavan is cheap. There's no good reason why a person can't afford it. It just costs plutus. It's nothing to buy some tzitzis and put it on the baker. That's nothing. It doesn't cost anything. No effort. Lavan is very expensive. Tchelis is very expensive. So he's saying, from here you see that if a person is, and this is the marshal of Merida, a person is rebelling against the king has instructed him to do something, and he says to himself, I'm not bothering. If there's a good excuse, doesn't justify it, but there's less of an oynish, it reduces the oynish. If there's no good excuse and you just can't be bothered, that's a real merida. That's saying, I've got no reason why I shouldn't do this, but I'm just rejecting what you tell me. I'm not interested in doing what you have to say. That's merida b'malchus. That's much worse. And therefore, he says, we would think, let's say a person has done an aveira over the year, which is quite common, and he's done an aveira kala. He would think, look, a person has to be makabel to not do aveiras. We can't take on everything. A person should take on not to do the aveira chamura, because it's such a bad thing. But actually, it may well be, says Rabbi Yisrael, that it's not so partial. Because a person who, let's say this aveira chamura is very difficult to restrain oneself from, and the aveira kala is much easier to avoid, but he still does it. So it could well work out that the onish for the aveira kala is far worse than the onish for aveira chamura, because he's got no reason not to keep this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, why don't you do it? The onish will be far worse. So it could well be that a person is, if they're making the cheshbon ha-nefesh, should think that the aveira kala should be taken on first. It makes it a lot easier as well. You take on something that's easy to do, so you can keep it. Take something that's very hard, it's much more difficult. And gradually a person can build up. This changed my whole view of what one should be doing with cheshbon ha-nefesh. That's one chiddush which he says from this Gemara. And the other chiddush is that he says that there are two things that the Brayis is talking about, tchelis and lavan. And it says that the noinish of one and noinish of another. Well, 1 minute, it's one mitzvah. How can there be two different noinishim? You didn't do the mitzvah, sisters, who cares if you didn't do this bit or you didn't do that bit? Either way, you didn't do the mitzvah properly. So this should just be the same noinish. It's one mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah. What do we see from here? We see that mitzvahs can be split up into their component parts. And there's an oynish, modern itself, for every aspect of the aveira. But the flip side of that is that a person can then, this is what he says, a person can take on, can be makabel, a component part of a mitzvah on aveira to be nisa from for the next year. And we might think, look, if I'm not going to be careful about Lashon Hara, I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara, so then I should just not say Lashon Hara in this particular situation, or this type of Lashon Hara I should avoid. Why? I'm going to be speaking Lashon Hara anyway, so what's the difference? But Yisrael says, from here you see that's not true. And he goes further, he says it's not just component parts of an aveira or mitzvah that you can break down and say you're going to keep and hopefully build up, but you can start with one and then go on to the next. You can actually be makabel different aveiras in different situations. He gives a marshal of a person during the week. A person wants to learn and he's completely exhausted after work. He's finished. He's got no cheshit to go and learn. He just can't. So he misses. And on Shabbos, he's had a good shluch. He woke up after Shabbos afternoon. He's feeling fresh, vibrant, but he doesn't learn. But there's no excuse for that person. Why didn't he learn? He wasn't tired. He didn't have the. He wasn't preoccupied with work. It's Shabbos. Nothing he could do anyway. So there could be, Chassid Shalom, a person could have a bigger oynish for Bittul Torah on Shabbos than for Bittul Torah during the week. Yes, and there, and the flip side of that is to be mekabel to learn on Shabbos afternoon after a person's had a good shluch. And let's say on those occasions when a person can't do it in the evening, he's saying, okay, I won't necessarily be mekabel every evening, whatever it is. So that actually is perfectly acceptable. That's called the Kabbalah. That's an acceptable Kabbalah. That's part of tshuva. And I think you can apply in all sorts of situations. And I thought to myself, you know, a person speaks Lashon Hara. Sometimes you've got a juicy piece of Lashon Hara you want to tell someone. You know, you've heard something, and the guy comes over to you and he starts nudging you to get this story out of you. It's very difficult not to say it. But for you to go and seek out somebody to tell this Lashon Hara to, where you've had no encouragement for anyone to actually spill the beans, so that is a little easier to restrain oneself from. So therefore, a person may say, well, I'll keep that, I'll keep the, at least the level of not say, going out of my way to say Lashon Hara. But if I'm in this situation, at this stage, I'm not mekabel that to myself. And that is the chiddush which he's saying one sees in this Gemara. It's a makor for this. This changes, I think, tremendously the whole mahalach of tshuva, and it can be a tremendous chizuk to be able to do tshuva in this way, where you don't have to, number one, take on everything, and you can't. If someone takes on anything, it doesn't last longer than you know, the first few days after Yom Kippur. But if they can take on small things, parts of mitzvahs, and even take on certain things in situations where the Aveda might be easier, then at least there's a hope we might make it till the next year. Just to sum up what we've seen from this, Rabbi Yeruchim has been brought out the Yisoidus, two Yisoidus of what Yifas Torah is about. Of course there are many other limudim one can gain from this, but the two Yisoidus which he said is, one is a person should never give up, and number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never giving up on you, and therefore it's a chizuk to know that we never go out of the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest. And lastly, that there are ways to be mekabel partial avedas, to be mekabel to do certain things without taking it all on, without taking on necessarily the hardest things, take on the easier things, and then Bezras Hashem, we should all have a ksiv chasimah tova and shnas kula v'yishua. Amen.